You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 174. I am your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and tonight, Art Bell and the Coast to Coast AM radio show. All right, well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 174. And can you believe it? I have been doing this thing for 80 episodes. 80 episodes of love for you people. I give and I give. So what are we doing tonight? Well, actually, we have a theme here. We're going to talk about this guy, Art Bell, and his show, the Coast to Coast AM radio show. And while, of course, it's going to be full of pseudo-archaeology and pseudoscience references and UFOs and all that kind of good stuff, I have to say, I have a real soft spot in my heart for this show. Like, there is some positivity. There is a silver lining to some of these clouds. And, well, why is that? Well, let me take you back, friends, to a time I like to call the 1990s. Remember that time? I remember that time. If you can't remember that time, it's a bummer because that was a kick-ass time. Where was I in the 1990s? So I was in college. These are largely my college years and a bit of postgraduate work. It's when I went to Belize for the first time. It's when I became an archaeologist. It's my roaring 20s, you know? And so I had moved to college to go to Santa Barbara in the fall of 1990, right? And so I graduated from Santa Barbara in 95, but I spent a couple more years in Santa Barbara. And then near the end of the 90s, I moved onward to LA. But where did I move from? I grew up in the East Bay area, right? So in kind of the Oakland area. And throughout the 90s and into the early aughts, I would drive back and forth a lot to see my parents. My parents still lived in the Bay Area, and I'm down in like Santa Barbara. And taking that drive, you have a choice. You can go the Interstate 5 or the 101. And I know you can also go the 1. I've done it. I know. I've done it all. But I never took the 5. The 5 is this long, straight, boring highway of doom and gloom that smells like cows. Yes, you can go a little faster, but it's not nearly as nice as the more coastal 101, right? The 101 is like where it's at. The 1 is the one that skirts right along the California coast, but that one can sometimes take quite a bit more time. And while you're wowed for the first hour or two by the plunging coast into the angry Pacific below, after a while, you're like, man, I just want to get home. Right. So the 101 is the happy medium. Now, because, you know, I'd be visiting my parents, whatever, I spent so many evenings over the years driving back to Santa Barbara, right? Driving back to what was now my home in Santa Barbara from my parents' house in the Bay Area. And it was about a 5-hour drive with no stops. Later going to LA, it's more like a 6.5-hour drive with like no stops or maybe one. But I would end up doing this at night. Right. So, and sometimes it would be quite late doing that thing where you like leave the Bay Area at like 10 at night and then get to Santa Barbara at like 3 in the morning, you know, that kind of thing, 3:30. Those were tough. Sometimes it's like, oh, thank God I left at 8:30, you know, or something like that. But my point is, I'd be grinding along the highways and byways of America late at night, Top Gear in my car, just trying to eat up the miles as best I could. And through all those years, my car that I used to eat up said miles was a 1972 Volvo. Now, not a station wagon. The sedan, and now these are still totally square and boxy, right? But it was a two-door, I know, very sporty. My 1972 green Volvo, this was a car that my parents bought when I was a newborn, right? That happens so often. It's like the family buys the safe car, right? The reliable car, the having kids car. And that's what this was. I remember my dad specifically saying when I asked him years later, he was like, oh yeah, you know, because your mom would be having kids and I wanted her to have a safe car. So it's what she drove. And of course, by the time I graduated from high school, this was an 18-year-old car. And so I got it and it was my college car. 1972 Volvos, and for Volvo nerds, it was a 142E. So it's a two-door, four-speed stick with overdrive, which you engaged on the right behind the steering wheel. On the part that holds the steering wheel, right? There's an area right there. You would engage it, and it was like a fifth gear. And as maybe you do know, Volvos are very well known for being safe, for being very sturdy, and actually quite comfortable. And it was light green. It was kind of like a light prison green, maybe a medium prison green. And again, my college car, I loved it nearly and dearly. It finally died on the way out to New Mexico on one of my many jaunts to Belize, driving to Belize. And my great friend Lisa, who I was working for those years, she lived in New Mexico. And I had to leave my car at, I believe it was called Atomic Towing, in the depths of nowhere in New Mexico, because it had just eaten itself. There were too many things wrong with it. It had way over 200,000 miles. But my great friend Lisa, I remember, brought me back, because I had to leave the car and then leave, and she was, of course, lived there, brought me back the gear shift knob from my car. So I still have my gear shift knob for my precious 1972 green Volvo. Now, this car was great, and such a great car for a college kid. I drove it. I should do a whole show on my green Volvo. I drove it in CRM archaeology years before it died, but after college, it did great on dirt roads and off-roading. I remember going through a ditch, like a dry gully ditch, where the project van got stuck, but my two-wheel drive Volvo like cranked on out of there because it was freaking awesome. But the one thing that it had that sucked was it had an AM radio only. So no FM radio, no cassette player, of course, no CD player, of course, no aux cord. The only thing you had to listen to on these hours and hours of droning at night on the freeway alone was the AM radio, right? And again, for those of you who don't know, there's AM and FM. FM radio comes in better, like the station will sound better, but the stations don't carry so far. So while FM sounds good, it's like better fidelity. After driving, you know, maybe you're going like an hour and you lose the signal and you have to get something else. So FM radio, if you're doing a long trip, can often be a time of changing stations, trying to find something decent. While AM comes in crappy, but it comes in forever because the waves of the radio station like kind of travel much further. And it's the one that kind of goes, you know, the one where you have to sort of tune the tuner and you kind of get it in and then you can kind of hear them for a while and then they kind of, and you got to like, you got to play with the tuner kind of while you're talking because atmospheric conditions are messing with you, right? One of the only shows, and definitely the only show that I kind of liked, was this show called Coast to Coast AM. The Coast to Coast AM radio show just defines the 90s for me, you know, and it defines that time. It defines for me. I'm driving back home to college. I'm driving back home to see my girlfriend. and I'm listening to this thing, and it's like 2 a.m. and I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm just having a laugh and a little bit of fun. And even though, as we'll see, the show can be kind of weird and definitely kind of wacky and kind of mysterious and strange, but it also just, there's a warmth to it and a folksiness to it and like a localness to it and a, hey, I'm just going to like be a part of this thing with everyone else across America, you know, because it was syndicated everywhere, as we'll learn. And so as we might talk about the intricacies and the weirdnesses of this show, I have to say, I loved the show. When we come back, how dare you love this show, Professor Kinkella? Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 174, and we are going to just about start discussing the Coast to Coast AM radio show. And when we last left with a vibe of Professor Kinkella, how dare he even like this show? So why should we even critique me? And I am a college professor who knows everything. I do have a PhD, so whatever I say is correct. What's the deal with this show? All right, here's the deal with this show. The Coast to Coast AM radio show was first a show that lasted hours. I believe it was like a 3-hour long show, but it always felt like it was just on all night. And I don't know if it was because they replayed the same show or they like played an older show and then they played the most recent show. But this is like nighttime for America in the 90s. It was created by this guy, Art Bell, right? And Art Bell is just this sort of, he's just this AM radio old school DJ guy, you know, and he's like 3% weird, but so what? Aren't we all, right? And he creates this show really in the late 70s, but it doesn't become what it is until around 1988 or so. And he stays with this show through like the early 2000s. I believe it lists like 2003, but he would come back to guest host and kind of back and forth all the way up until like 2013. I believe he dies in 2018. I might be like a year off, but it's like right in there. And so he was always kind of out and about with it throughout, just this multi-hour long show done by him, basically by himself, or it really has that feeling of him by himself alone in a recording studio on the outskirts of nowhere, because he really did record this in the outskirts of nowhere for a huge portion of the show's life and of his life. He lived in Pahrump, Nevada, which is Nowheresville, Nevada. You don't even go through it. If you're from LA and you're driving to Las Vegas, it's kind of north and west of Las Vegas, like maybe 50 miles or so, and mostly west, but it's kind of up where you're going to be taking the 15, right? It's not along any of those, that main road like that. But anyway, he literally lives in like this lonely by himself house compound place where he just did his show to the world, right? Just a desert rat kind of guy doing his thing. And no matter what you might think of the show, man, I loved the vibe of that show. The idea that it was on at night, the idea that we're just rolling the wheels of steel to the midnight hour with Art Bell, that kind of thing. And let's be honest, I rip off so much from him, right? I hadn't thought of this show in years. And I forgot, you guys, why I'm thinking about it now. I saw something about it, you know, in the last week. I was like, oh right, Coast to Coast AM. And so I wanted to talk about it, but I didn't realize how much that's what I wanted to do. This feeling of the show is at night. We're just talking, you and me. You know, I'm just talking to you directly, right? And we're just having a conversation, in my case, about pseudo-archaeology. I'm almost a joking opposite of Coast to Coast AM. And in my joking oppositeness, I end up being quite similar to Coast to AM, right? In terms that I so often want to record this show at night, right? I want to have that feeling. Sometimes I'll have like a drink in hand as I record, just to give it that feel of we're just hanging and it's late at night and I'm here for you. You know, I love that idea of dark and lonely. The other thing I steal from at the top of this show when I go tonight, right? I stole that straight from Unsolved Mysteries from Robert Stack, right? He would always go tonight on Unsolved Mysteries. And I just loved that. So I'm really comboing Art Bell and Robert Stack, you know, and having a little bit of fun. So with that, the Coast to Coast AM radio show was so often about like the paranormal, pseudoscience, right? Pseudo-archaeology, pick your pseudo. Basically, every theme we've done on this show, I'm sure they did it. I'm sure Art Bell did it at some point on the Coast to Coast AM show, but took it seriously. And what he would often do, he'd have like every pseudoscience weirdo on. He had Graham Hancock on, you know? But he'd have straight up like crazy people. Even like, I'm sure even Graham Hancock would be like, hey, I believe there was an ancient super civilization that was destroyed at the end of the last ice age, but I'm not crazy like that guy. Right. Referring to some of the guests that Art Bell had on. And Art Bell, he did push back a little bit, but really the show was there to entertain and to let people just run wild, because this show is hours long, right? So they would just talk about the craziest pseudoscience. I remember one guy talked about how he made a time machine. I think he ripped off like several like professional grade power converters or something, and he put them together in series. It's one of the more famous Coast to Coast Art Bell shows, but you can tell that this guy is like totally Looney Tunes crazy. But Art never makes them feel bad. He just kind of lets them tell their story, and he kind of pushes back gently. He'll be like, no, describe. So how precisely was your time machine built? Oh, yes, that must have been, that sounds difficult. You know, like he kind of gave this warm womb for crazy people to tell their story. And when you're driving along the 101 late at night trying to stay awake, this is the elixir of the gods, my friends. Like, it's great. Like, because half the time you're sitting there, you know, for somebody like me, you're kind of mad sometimes, like, oh my God, that's so crazy. But at the same time, you're like, oh my God, that is so crazy, right? So you're not a bad person if you enjoy Coast to Coast with Art Bell, right? It's just the level of seriousness you take it. And I will say at the same moment, Art Bell basically, he was, I think, the definition of a free thinker. And he would interview whoever the hell he wanted. I mean, he's like, dude, I'm in the middle of Pahrump, Nevada doing this thing at like midnight. So I'm going to talk to whoever I want. I was listening to one. I'm a huge George Carlin fan. So like George Carlin was on at one point. And you see other, not, I give him huge props for not having every like Hollywood starlet fool on. You know, I think he had who he thought was cool. And so there's interesting comedians. Every so often there's just kind of actors on there, but very rare. They're usually just other people in entertainment who are just kind of, you know, to the edge. And he's a very good interviewer. He just lets them kind of roll. Again, it's a relaxed show. You got hours. Let's just like fill up the late night hours with some fun conversation. I believe during the 90s, it was like the most popular overnight show. I can't believe it wasn't. Like, it, you know, this thing. And while he did this, it always, in my mind, I thought of Art Bell as like Wolfman Jack. If you guys have ever seen American Graffiti, right? It's almost this legend, almost this superhero. But then in American Graffiti, you know, he actually, the main character, Richard Dreyfuss, actually meets Wolfman Jack. And the whole time Wolfman Jack says he's not Wolfman Jack, that he's just like Wolfman Jack's representative. And I can see Art Bell doing the same sort of thing, just about, you know, he's bigger than life. So this was a show that, in a way, everyone could enjoy. And yes, it's the most pseudoscience BS you've ever heard. I mean, the dude building a time machine. And if you want every Bigfoot, every Atlantis, every, like, guess what I saw when I was on drugs? You know, that's the show. He's like, Art Bell's like, in his own relaxed, very sort of just straightforward interviewing, he's a total showman. Like, he knows some pacing. It's, dude, it's just killer. So when we return, my final thoughts on Coast to Coast AM. Well, hello there, and welcome back one last time to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 174, where we are talking about Art Bell and the Coast to Coast AM radio show. So as the early 2000s rolled on, I think that Art Bell got older. He had other people hosting instead of him. There's a new guy, you know, who just, it's not the same. There's, what can you do? It's like changing a lead singer in a rock and roll band. It's just not going to be as good, you know? But in this, like, in this show, I think if you're curious about what Joe Rogan thinks and how the Joe Rogan show works, look no further than Art Bell. Joe Rogan has a poster of Art Bell, like, in the studio right there, like a huge big ass poster right there. And Joe Rogan was on the Art Bell show once, right near the end, you know, 2013 or 2015 or, you know, something like that. And I got to say, I'm extremely jealous of Joe Rogan for being on the Art Bell show. Like, I'd be on there in a second. Oh, because this stuff, you guys, it's just like Americana. You know what I mean? I love Americana. I'm the host of the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, but I love all the, like, aliens, Area 51 stuff. You know, I've done shows on this kind of stuff in the past. I love having a laugh. The Thing. You know, I did an entire show on The Thing. I love that sort of Cold War, Americana, 1950s, early 60s stuff. And, you know, that's where a lot of this stuff springs from. You know, I think to live in kind of rural Southern Nevada is to have some of that stuff kind of pushed towards you front row center than maybe some other places in the country. So you can see what Joe Rogan takes from this. And I'm sure Joe Rogan would, like, freely admit, oh yeah, still from Art Bell, right and left. The long form thing, you know, talking for hours. Cause actually Joe Rogan's podcasts are very similar in length, in theme, in organization, the Coast AM. Art Bell would usually start with, like, the news of the day, talk a little bit about, you know, like, what's going on, and then have a guest and then talk about the theme. You know, if it's, there was one on, like, this guy who was talking about how he was like walking by, like, a sheep farm at night, and he saw this one sheep that was, like, really, like, stood out from the others, just staring. And there was a sheep that was just, like, staring into the darkness. And he came back the next night and he saw the sheep levitating. And then next to the levitating sheep, he saw, like, three human figures levitating upside down above him. So he threw a rock and he was trying to hit the levitating figures, but it accidentally hit the sheep. And then the levitating figures looked at him and were, like, pissed at him. And so he, like, ran away and hid in his car. I think that's how it goes. I could be getting it a little wrong. But, dude, did that actually happen? No, of course it didn't happen. We're fully formed, rational human beings. But don't you want to be there for the campfire story? Hell yeah, I want to hear some weird dude talk about levitating sheep. I'll listen to that crap all night. Again, you guys, with this stuff, it pays to have a sense of humor, right? It pays. It's how you take this in, right? If you're getting your main news and data about the world from Coast to Coast AM, that's a bad move. Just as if you're getting your main news and data from the Joe Rogan podcast, that's a bad move. Joe, I'm sure, again, would totally agree with me. Be like, yeah, dude, that's like a terrible idea. Because both of them, whether it be Art Bell, whether it be Joe Rogan, are there to entertain. are there to do something interesting. And I think both of them have a fascination with this world of stuff. And that's where archaeology comes in, right? Because they are fascinated with pseudo-archaeology, right? I'm sure, you know, Graham Hancock is like Joe Rogan's best buddy. And I'm sure the same thing would happen with Art Bell to a degree. But again, the problem is when you start taking it too seriously, right? When the audience starts defending the guy who saw the levitating sheep or the guy who was building a time machine in his like backyard, you know, or that there was an ancient super civilization at the end of the last ice age. None of this stuff has any data or facts behind it, right? But because the hosts are so endearing that an attack on the argument seems like an attack on the host. And that's where it goes downhill, right? When the audience goes, no, you don't know. What do you know, egghead archaeologist? How do you know there weren't levitating sheep? Well, law of gravity, for one, I'm going to go with that one, right? No, you don't know. What do you know, egghead? Right? That's where it goes poorly, right? And that's where we got to be careful. Because at the end of the day, this is theater. It's theater. It's great theater. What can I say? I have a minor in theater. I've been in plays. I've been on TV shows. I've done the acting thing. I've been there, my friends. I love theater. But I know that theater is fake. And that's when you cross the Rubicon. It's when you think it's kind of real, right? When you too seriously go, it could be. No, it can't be, right? That's when we've left the building. And notice, I don't fault Art Bell or Joe Rogan. Not at all, dude. Not at all. I don't mind the Joe Rogan show at all. Like, it's just so funny. It's so similar to the Art Bell show. I like them both. Every so often, either of them, both of them would have an episode where I'd be like, oh, this is too lame. Like the guy who was making, for Art Bell, the guy who was making like the time machine, sometimes they get sad where the people are so crazy and they're making such a fool out of themselves. You're like worried for them. You know, you're like, is that guy okay? Like, I know he's calling into this show and Art Bell isn't kind of pushing back enough. Like, I think like the trauma of his craziness might be like, and it's just being used for our entertainment. I don't know. I feel dirty. Right. That can happen. You have total shysters like Graham Hancock, too. But you also have just like people who are lonely, you know, people who are a little off, people who are looking. And you guys behind the scenes, I've had many people over the years email me about their crazy ideas and want me to come. I think I've probably talked about one or two of these times on here, but probably not nearly enough of, you know, real people who believe, local people for me, who believe really crazy stuff, right? Really weird stuff. And then get mad at me when I tell them the truth and go, actually, no, what you're looking at is not an artifact. No, what you're looking at is not true to reality. Get really angry, you know, and will not stop telling the truth, right? That's kind of part of it. But in that same moment, I'm not going to stop having fun. You know what I mean? Pseudo-archaeology is fun. There's a reason why this show gets people listening to it, right? Coast to Coast AM was a freaking riot and a half. And it kept millions of Americans from having accidents on the freeway at like 2 a.m. And I will say, while, of course, first and foremost, you should listen to every back episode of the Pseudo-archaeology podcast and watch and like and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. I mean, that goes without saying. I'm sure everyone listening has subscribed. Dude, if you haven't, kind of subscribe. I kind of need some subscribers. They always help me out. Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. So, but with that, another place I would go is to like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, right? They have a bunch. You can look it up and you'll find it in 2 seconds. Just look up Coast to Coast AM or look up Art Bell. And they have like dozens and hundreds, if not all of his episodes. I mean, he did this for years and years. Back episodes where you can just listen at your leisure. And I have to say, you guys, you know, I've listened to like several of them. They are so great to just listen and let them play, because Art Bell is doing this in real time, right? This is a real No BS radio show where he is straight up talking to these people. You can tell he doesn't really know what's coming next. It's not all like pre-figured out. It's really in the moment. He reacts in the moment. And so, you know, good for him. My highest praise is I miss the Coast to Coast AM show, and I miss that time, right? I miss having to drive in my car that only had an AM radio. I miss having to like try and tune in the one radio show. And actually, to cut this wide at the end, I think America is missing stuff like this. Singular shows that are apolitical, although people try and make them political every turn, that we just don't take too seriously and have some fun for once in your life. And with that, go out there, have a little fun. I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Seabrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultura Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.